This month, we're talking about one of my favorite topics, biodiversity. And who doesn't love biodiversity? After all, it's all the wonderful snakes, dandelions, spiders, bats, ants, slime molds, weasels, moles, wood ticks, creeping charlie, wasps, rats, pigweed, cockroaches, and leeches all living together, breathing, and eating each other that make our world a livable place. But biodiversity is really so much more. It's the entirety of life and the ecological processes that support it. It takes communities of plant and animal species with diverse genetics, living, reproducing, eating, dying, and decomposing to preserve the overall health of the ecosystem. The greater the biodiversity, the more robust and resilient an ecosystem is to things like famine and disease. But how important is it really? Living in the Northwoods, it's pretty easy to assume that biodiversity isn't anything we really need to worry about. But a lot of things we take for granted in northern Wisconsin wouldn't be here if it weren't for biodiversity. Our clean air, wild game, and fresh water all ultimately rely on biodiversity. In researching this topic, I learned that biodiversity loss frequently increases disease transmission. I also learned that the current evidence indicates that preserving intact ecosystems and their biodiversity generally reduces the prevalence of infectious diseases. Basically, when an ecosystem's biodiversity is degraded, there are not as many predator species to mitigate the outbreak of disease. Furthermore, since human encroachment on wildlife habitat is often the cause behind the loss of biodiversity, that encroachment tends to put people into closer proximity to animals that carry diseases that history has shown often have the ability to jump over into humans. And there's some evidence for this right here in northern Wisconsin, with the increase in tick-borne diseases like Lyme disease. According to Dr. Catherine Walter, who has studied and published on this topic extensively, evidence for Lyme disease can actually be traced back thousands of years. She says, "The Lyme disease bacterium has long been endemic, but the deforestation and subsequent suburbanization of much of New England and the Midwest created conditions for deer ticks and the Lyme disease bacterium to thrive. By most standards, northern Wisconsin can't be described as deforested, but it once was. In 1869, Wisconsin was producing more than 1 billion board feet annually, and it continued at that level, or even higher, until the early 1900s. That level of exploitation was unsustainable, and ultimately, the logging industry collapsed. It wasn't a good time for biodiversity in northern Wisconsin. Many species were lost, some never to come back. Although nothing like the majestic conifer forests that used to cover the landscape, Wisconsin was eventually reforested. It's a fascinating story of its own, but in reestablishing the forests we have today, management choices were made that heavily favor certain animals over others. And those animals tend to be great hosts for wood ticks. Of course, I'm talking about white-tailed deer. With the possible exception of gardeners, most of us love deer and favor them over most other wildlife. And speaking of other wildlife, Wisconsin isn't doing too bad when it comes to biodiversity. According to the Wisconsin DNR, Wisconsin still has 1,800 native plant species, 700 species of native vertebrates, and there are thousands more non-vascular plants and invertebrates. Some of these species did just fine during reforestation. Some had to be reintroduced. Some made it back on their own. But the quality of our environment and its biodiversity all comes down to the way we manage it, and that's determined by the things we value. If we only value the kinds of life that we can profit from, or the things that are beautiful, or the ones that taste good, we will lose the ones that keep us alive. While favoring deer has had its benefits, I wish we favored every animal the way we favor white-tailed deer, especially snakes. I'm always a little saddened when I hear people tell me they hate snakes. It's a massive understatement to say that snakes get a bad rap. And if we care about things like preventing and controlling Lyme disease, we should care about animals like snakes, because they're very helpful when it comes to eating the animals that those ticks love to live on. When a snake gobbles up a mouse, or even a rabbit, it also eats the animal's contingent of wood ticks. Snakes also contribute to biodiversity by being what's called secondary seed spreaders. It works like this. Rodents eat a lot of seeds. After a snake is done eating and digesting a rodent, the seeds are expelled through the snake's excrement intact. Snakes tend to have a much larger range than rodents, and therefore spread the seeds much further away than the originating plant. This mechanism supports growth and survival of plant species without struggling for common resources of light, water, and soil nutrients, and therefore is essential for biodiversity and ecological restoration. Obviously, there's more to biodiversity than we have time to go into today. But hopefully, we can begin to value all of the plant and animal species as important parts of the biodiverse systems that support all life on Earth. I'm Brian Black, and thank you for listening to this episode of Wildlife Matters, a wildlife education program from the Northwoods Wildlife Center in Minocqua, Wisconsin.